Good afternoon, everyone. It's Wednesday, April the 8th, 2020. This is our usual prayer meeting day, but of course we are not meeting together because of the COVID-19 issue. I miss seeing you all, but I know and am assured that the Lord God is watching over you and keeping you and blessing you. For that we give him praise. This day is also what we've come to call Dark Wednesday, the day that we have discerned from the scriptures to be the day of Christ's crucifixion, at the end of which, specifically at 6 p.m., the end of the Jewish day, Jesus gave up the ghost and died. And then at 6 p.m. is the beginning of the Jewish feast of Passover, Nisan 14. Interestingly, Passover is Thursday this year, tomorrow, April the 9th, and Passover begins at 6 p.m. today, exactly as it was in the week that Jesus died some 2,000 years ago. Isn't that interesting? The reasons for accepting the end of Wednesday for the death of Christ are many, but perhaps I can give you one for today. When Jesus was asked for a sign from the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus responded with this statement in Matthew 12, verse 39 and 40. He answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas," or Jonah. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." It's also repeated in Matthew 16, verse 4, and then Luke chapter 11, verses 29 to 30, where Jesus talked about the sign of Jonah. The fundamental indication that Jesus was Messiah and Lord was the 3 days and three nights during which Jesus' body would be in the grave. And then on the third day, he would rise from the dead in the same body that was crucified. One just cannot, no matter what schemes or explanations man can come up with, get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. Besides, the 3 days and three nights must be full days, 24 hours from sundown to sundown. And with Jesus dying at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, with Passover beginning at the setting of the sun, you can see that there are 3 days and three nights, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that are involved. With Jesus rising from the dead on the third day at the end of the day, which was the weekly Sabbath, at 6 p.m. on Saturday, the setting of the sun, and the beginning of the first day of the week. 3 days and three nights were required to be full days because of the nature of those days. Passover on the 14th, the first day of unleavened bread on the 15th, and then the weekly Sabbath day on the 16th. These were holy days. No work could be done in them, and no one could go to the sepulchre to properly bury the body of Jesus until after those 3 days were completed. The women came to the tomb early in the morning of the first day of the week. Jesus was already risen and gone from the tomb. So we commemorate the death of Christ on the cross on Wednesday at sundown. If you have questions about all of this, please ask. I would further encourage you to get my dad's book entitled History's Most Important 10 Days. That will give you more details for the Dark Wednesday. I'd like to play a couple of songs for you at this point, focusing in on the Lamb and the Cross. The first is Behold the Lamb, recorded by the First Baptist Church in Dallas, their choir and orchestra, and then The Old Rugged Cross, sung by Anne Murray.
far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to
to read a passage of scripture for us today as well. In Matthew chapter 27, if you want to turn in your own Bibles to it, you can follow along as I read. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 1. And we'll be skipping a few verses along the way to try and get the gist of the crucifixion story. So Matthew chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now down to verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he said nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. And therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew for envy they had delivered him. Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. Verse 33, And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto them, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this afternoon. Let me take a few moments to share in a word of devotions for us as we commemorate and remember the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. Tonight we remember the death of Jesus Christ, crucified on a cruel Roman cross some 2,000 years ago. The cross of Jesus Christ is an important fundamental theme in the Bible. The term cross occurs 28 times in the New Testament. Do you know how many times the word cross occurs in the Old Testament? Not even once. The cross is definitely a New Testament theme, an important theme, a fundamental theme for the gospel and for our salvation. It was the cross that Jesus steadily approached from all eternity past. By his incarnation, through his earthly life and ministry, the cross was the pinnacle, the goal, the reason he came to this earth, to die on a cross as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world, to provide a way for our eternal salvation. The cross is the completion of what all the Old Testament sacrificial system pictured. The cross of Christ happened just once, but the ramifications of it still impact our lives as believers and the whole world yet today. The cross, of course, was the instrument for crucifixion used by the Romans at the time of Christ. It was a horrible way to die, painful beyond description, humiliating, being crucified naked. It was insulting. People mocked and cursed by the Lord Jesus by many who passed by. A feeling of being abandoned by society, no one to take pity. An awful way to die for anyone who deserved to die. But for Jesus, a death he did not deserve to die, but died on the cross anyway, purposely for you and me. It seems that in God's plan for our salvation, he had his only begotten Son come to this earth at exactly the time when the Romans were in power, utilizing the cross for capital punishment. Although the use of crucifixion for execution was practiced in various places around the world, the Romans, it seems, perfected it. Wikipedia records that Constantine the Great, the first Christian emperor, abolished crucifixion in the Roman Empire in 337 AD out of veneration for Jesus Christ as its most famous victim. End quote. What does the cross mean for us? Well, consider the phrase, the cross of Christ. It occurs three times in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:17, Galatians 6 verse 2, and Philippians 3:18. And the phrase, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, occurs once in Galatians 6:14. Let me read the verses for you. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, we read, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Galatians 6:12 says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." And in Philippians 3:18, Paul says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Galatians 6 verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." From these verses, we can learn four things. Number one, The cross of Christ is to be the effect upon hearers. 1 Corinthians 1:17. The effect upon hearers. The Apostle Paul's mandate was to preach the gospel. Wherever he went, that's what he did. He preached the gospel. And you may say, well, what is the gospel? Well, let me read for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through the first part of to verse 5. Here's what we read. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and then the following verses talk about many more eyewitnesses to the resurrected Christ. The gospel necessarily includes the cross, for that was the instrument of Christ's death for our sin. But Paul didn't want to preach with the wisdom of words. That is, he didn't want his preaching the gospel to be intellectual or oratorical or philosophical. He didn't want the gospel to be dramatized or understood as a majestic monologue, such that the applause would go to the speaker rather than the subject upon which he spoke. Paul was careful to keep the gospel focused on the cross of Christ. Simple, straightforward, clear, no embellishment, no drama, no theatrics. He preached this way, for if he didn't, the cross would be of no effect. That is, the central feature of the gospel and our salvation is the cross, not some speaker's oratorical ability to sway people with his words. The cross is to be the effect upon the hearers, not the manner in which the gospel is preached. It's the cross of Christ that is to be the effect upon people. Number two, the cross of Christ could bring persecution to those who believe the gospel. That's Galatians 6, verse 12, which says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." Do you stand for what the cross of Christ means? That Christ died on the cross to pay the price for the sin of the world? Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and me have all sinned." And so Christ's death on the cross satisfied the just wrath of God against sin, providing forgiveness of sin and liberty from the shackles of sin and the gift of eternal life to everyone who believes on Christ. Believing that message, preaching that message, or just telling that truth to another person could bring persecution your way. People who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and understand what the cross of Christ means are dying every day around the world because someone else doesn't like the gospel of Christ. Some people don't want to be persecuted for believing the gospel, and so they try to change it and make it something a little less offensive to others. But the gospel without the cross of Christ is no gospel at all. Let us be bold and courageous and stand fast on the gospel of Christ with its narrow, intolerant, unchanging, necessary truth of the cross of Christ. Let us not shy away from the persecution that might come for believing and preaching the gospel of Christ and the cross of Christ. Thirdly, we must realize that there are enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:18. Paul says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Yes, there are those who hate the gospel of Christ, who are adversaries of the cross, who live their lives in complete opposition to Christ. We need to watch out for the enemies of the cross and to follow the examples of those who walk in accordance to the gospel. Philippians 3 verse 17 says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." We need to be aware of the enemies of the cross, but we need not fear them. We need to commit ourselves to walking in the pattern of those who know Christ as Savior. Perhaps we also can be that pattern for others who may be watching our lives and wondering about what it is to be a Christian. But just know that there are enemies of the cross, and we need to be aware of them. Number four, and the last, the cross of Christ is the only thing for the believer to glory in. The only thing for the believer to glory in. Galatians 6:14, once again. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The cross of Christ is the dividing line. It separates the believer from the world. Paul said that it was by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that the world was crucified unto him, and he to the world. There is nothing else to glory, that is to boast or joy or rejoice in, except for the cross of Christ. Not in self, not in our humanity, not in our abilities, not in our opinions, not in our diplomas or the degrees after our name. Glory only in the cross of Christ. Make your boast in what Christ has done for you on the cross. That is where our sins were paid for, and the wrath of God expressed against our sins upon his own Son, so that we, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, might be forgiven our sins, have them taken away from us, cleansed from us, and that we might have the gift of eternal life and be saved for eternity. May God help us to focus on the cross of Christ as the truth necessary for salvation. To be prepared for persecution, for believing in the cross of Christ that may come. Mark those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, not to follow them, but to follow those who stand strong in the gospel message. And then to boast only in the cross of Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is so very important. We acknowledge its importance, not by wearing a trinket around our neck, but by embracing all that the cross of Christ means in a changed life, walking in the light of the gospel and living a Christ-like life. What does the cross mean to you? What difference will the cross of Christ make in your life today? Do you know somebody who needs to know about the cross of Christ and what Jesus did there for them? The cross of Christ should make all the difference in the world.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. a day in which we can commemorate and to remember the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross, dying for our sins in our place, to bear the punishment and the wrath of sin against us upon himself, to take that burden on his own body and have it nailed to the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to bear the burden of our sin, to pay the price for it in your death. And we give you all praise and glory for that. We thank you for the great importance that we see in the cross of the Lord Jesus. Without it, we are still lost in our sins. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, for preparing that that place where wrath might be justly poured out against the sin of the world upon your innocent and unblemished holy Son, righteous Son, the Lord Jesus. And for the salvation that has been provided because of that, that payment, we want to give you all the thanks, praise, and the glory. Help us, along with the Apostle Paul, to glory in the cross of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved, till next time, blessings on you.